I am Frank Vaughn. It is March 21st, 2025, and the controversy surrounding the volume of my introductory music continues. I've been under relentless assault for turning it down, so I've turned it back up. Stay tuned for more debate on this very important subject. Moving on, I am a believer in a higher power. I hold myself accountable to something that's beyond myself, and sometimes that means occasionally reading into events in the world as omens. Now, in the infinite wisdom of Carney and his team, they thought it was a good idea for him to dress up and pretend to be a hockey player for a little while. And more surprisingly, the Edmonton Oilers thought this would be a good idea for their franchise and their brand to dress up and suit up an unelected prime minister and let him skate around and pretend to be a hockey player for a little while. And everybody's seen the video of him taking a shot and flubbing, trying to get it in the upper corner. And good on him for trying. I'd probably miss it too. But the story faded off before the real ominous thing happened. It wasn't a dream. McDavid, Draisaitl, Skinner out for the Edmonton Oilers. There's nothing like putting a guy on the ice and then losing the entire top of your roster. Now, I know this isn't a substantive news story, but I'm going to tell you, I've been talking about Carney as the Grim Reaper sent here to put Canada in a coffin and to make you suffer. Talking about the resilience of the Canadian people, the prophet of doom literally campaigned on a message of bleakness, emergencies, and unmitigated government power. That was his message. And he got elected. He was selected. And then this happens. Read the tea leaves. And speaking of reading the tea leaves, Hudson's Bay hopes to save six stores, begin liquidation process on Monday. Who killed Hudson's Bay? Probably the Canadian government, by making it impossible to do business in this country competitively. And this is a theme that's going to develop even further as we move forward in time, as the United States lowers taxes, lowers trade barriers, makes a very favorable environment for capital investment, at the same time as Canada increases taxation and makes it harder for people to do business here. You're just going to see more of this. Hudson's Bay closure would be quite a loss for Canadians, is the headline. And the last word is expert. We need an expert to tell us that the closure of businesses, 9,364 employees, is bad news for Canada. That word expert, I've just come to hate it. Court filings paint dire financial portrait as company nearly $1 billion in debt. Canada's kind of behind the eight ball. We have not evolved as a country. I often talk about how backwards our Westminster system is and how we need an upgrade, but we should also have a conversation someday about how backwards our business climate is and our business models are. We're not really innovating anymore. We're not researching. We're not blazing new trails in Canada as national policy. We're just gimping along into the future. We're not really doing anything that advances human progress. And on that mark, another headline from CBC, Hudson's Bay Company's role in colonization leaves some indigenous people conflicted about its troubles. So why not stoke racial discord while we're at it? Just pile salt into the wound. And it is one gaping wound. On screen is a chart. G7, real GDP per capita. Canada is dead last. Another chart, real GDP per capita in the OECD. So we're increasing the number of countries that we're comparing ourselves to. And guess what? We are second to last because nobody wants to invest here. There's no money to be made in Canada because we are a tax and taker nation. Business investment per capita, down. Canada business investment lags U.S. It doesn't just lag it. The Americans are increasing their share. We are losing our share. Real GDP per capita, again, falling compared to the United States. It amazes me. Growth based on GDP per capita in the last 10 years, once again, Canada is rocking it in terms of dead last. We are bringing up the rear in almost every measurable way in the world right now. And Mark Carney was right there with the Liberal Party and the NDP this entire time, advising in the background. He is a continuance of the government of the last 10 years. Now, you can have problems with the CPC all day. I do. There's aspects of their foreign policy I just hate. I think Pierre's botched his messaging. I think he's left the middle ground wide open. I don't know why he didn't take it. But this election, if we get it, and it looks like we're going to get it, is a referendum on the last 10 years. And it's not just a referendum on the Liberal Party itself and the people that Mark Carney has actually chosen to continue surrounding himself with. All the architects of our demise are still in his government. But it's also a referendum on the NDP and Jagmeet Singh, who has done nothing, literally nothing for this country except delay elections. We should have had elections a year ago, but we didn't because he wanted to vest his pension. The only purpose the NDP serves right now is propping up the Liberal government. They deserve to be wiped out. Now, if you want a continuance of Liberal government, fine. Let me just say it this way. I understand. You like the pain. Don't waste your vote on the NDP. This election's a binary. And like I said in yesterday's video, there are differences between the Liberals and the Conservative Party. There are objective differences. I'm going to show you one right now. Now, I'm going to try and keep my speech clean, but some colorful language might slip in on this one, and I can't help it. Pictured on screen is a son of a bitch. Man who kidnapped girl from Prince Albert Playground to live in Regina after release. I have a problem with this headline because it ain't about kidnapping her. This is Jared Charles. He's residing in the Heritage neighborhood of Regina. Why he isn't in jail or under some kind of capital punishment for what he did, I have no idea. These people should be castrated before they're released to the public. This is disgusting. RCMP and Regina police have issued an alert for Jared Charles, the man convicted in kidnapping an 8-year-old girl from a playground in Prince Albert and sexually assaulting her, will live in Regina upon his release. He is now 27 years old, stands 6 feet tall. This is what he looks like. Charles was sentenced to 8 years and 90 days after pleading guilty to kidnapping the child on July 4th, 2017. He took her to the playground, took her from the playground to an abandoned house east of the city, sexually assaulting her, and left her there. The girl then walked 7 kilometers through the forest to find help. At the time, Charles was on probation for a previous assault on a minor. Why do we got to put up with this shit? Why is this man allowed to walk free? Why isn't he castrated? Why isn't he kept? I'm not an advocate for keeping pedophiles in jail. I think pedophiles should be, I think they should be executed legally. I think lawfully there should be capital punishment brought back in this country for anybody who rapes a child. You should die. We shouldn't have to pay for you to be in jail. We shouldn't have to, like this is, in Canada, we have a sex offender registry of sorts. But the information's not public. So the best you get is release information that this individual is going to be walking around in public. Good luck to you, because they're not going to give you his address. They're not going to tell you where he ends up after he gets to Regina. It's all private and protected. Our emphasis, ever since Pierre Elliott Trudeau, is on protecting criminals. And in Liberal Canada, we release these people all the time. And it's gotten worse since this man was sentenced. And we take into consideration, was he a native man? If he's a native man, then he doesn't deserve the same level of justice as a white person because he has ethnic heritage and there's social stigma and all these other things. The point is, under a Polyev-led government, the promise is to get tough on these scumbags, put them in jail. I don't care if our jails are over capacity. Build tents. We talk about using the military for all kinds of things except for defending the country. We talk about sending troops over to Ukraine, but we can't even field 50%. Build tent cities. Jam these bastards in there and keep them there indefinitely. I just don't understand how Canada got to a point where this is something we even tolerate. Why are these people allowed to live, let alone be among us and protected by the system, have their names protected? If it's such a grievous crime, the dude did it before. Why was he out on probation after assaulting another minor so that he could do this again? Do you recognize the pattern? There's got to be a tougher mechanism because your children should be able to play in parks. It's not just that they're at risk of being kidnapped by sickos who are released by our justice system. They're at risk of stabbing themselves with disease-infested needles because we encourage the public and open use of narcotics, not just in our public parks, but on our transit. Your poor kids are just trying to get to high school, and they got to get on a bus with people smoking meth and shooting up. Like, Canada's disgusting. We're a disgusting, dirty little country. We are a glorified narco state. I've put paid to it in my videos. We have cartels and we have triads running this country. We have a huge and booming export market in drugs. We have a huge and booming market in money laundering. Talking specifically about the differences between the CPC and the Liberal Party of Canada is they have promised to get tough on this thing. This is one of those areas, as I've said before, where my life would improve if they just started jailing these scumbags and left them in there. If they started jailing drug dealers again. If they got this stupid idea of safe supply and decriminalizing hard drugs and instead took a gavel, metaphorically, to all of these people and created clean streets again and broke up the crime. That's one concrete way my life would get better. And another concrete way my life would get better under a conservative government is their commitment to end the harassment of lawful gun owners. We're the most vetted class of people in this country, literally the best Canadians, objectively the best Canadians. We have to submit to criminal record checks every single day. Not just that, we have to submit to what I would call interdiction checks, which means you don't even have to be charged. But say you're out at a nightclub and you get in a fight, you can expect a call from the Canadian Firearms Office to see if you're an at-risk offender. When you apply for your license, you have to go through thorough background checks and vetting. You have to provide character references. You have to provide the names of all of your conjugal partners. When I went through it, it was all your conjugal partners for the previous 2 years. But they might have expanded that now. Mental health check. All this licensing requirement so that the government can allow gangbangers on the street not just to stab people but shoot people up. It's not just a drug problem. It's not just a pedophile problem, revolving door justice for pedos. It's a gang violence problem. It's guys with handguns shooting up your streets. In Canada, you can't even take your handgun out of your safe without a permit. You can take your handgun to the range or to the gun shop, but you have to call and get permission to move it. It's got to be locked in a case. It's got to have trigger locks on it. Like the firearm is treated like it's going to spontaneously start shooting people at random. It's treated like a dangerous artifact, like you're carrying around uranium. That's how Canada functions. That's how legal gun ownership functions in Canada. Meanwhile, the guys with the handguns out in their belts, shooting people up on the street or breaking all the laws, and the government's answer has been to harass further the licensed gun owners who are obeying all the laws. It's disgusting and it's ridiculous, and the Conservative Party has vowed to get rid of the orders in council, reverse C-71. That is another way that my life would get better under a Conservative government while we wait for the whole 51st state, sovereignist agendas, breaking up the country, renegotiating the Federation, working on all of these things, which I'm really passionate about because that's one of the defects of the Conservative Party of Canada. They don't want to deal with any of the real problems in this country. But you're either going to be governed by Carney, who is the leader of the Liberal Party, in a rigged election, statistically impossible that he did what he did. You're either going to be governed by him, promising you emergencies unending and destroying your livelihood, or you're going to be governed by the Conservative Party of Canada. Now, you can have all the problems in the world with the Conservative Party of Canada. I know that I do. They got a Sikh nationalism problem. They got a problem on Ukraine, in my opinion. Their approach to Trump hasn't really worked all that good. There's a lot of issues. I've picked them apart in my videos. But at the same time, it's difficult for me to want to reward the Liberal Party of Canada after the last 10 years with a vote. It's very difficult for me to, especially another thing. Let me just pull this up quick. We all know that Doug Ford's a fake conservative. I'm not really sure why Ontario chose to vote for him. I understand why 55% of Ontario decided to stay home because there wasn't any choice. And I understand that New Blue and the Ontario Party didn't run candidates everywhere, so not everybody had a third-party option or fourth-party option to vote for. But there was an argument that was predominant. I saw it in my comments section, and I saw it on X, that you had to vote for Ford because you have to beat the big evil liberals. You have to beat the NDP. You got to, you know, it'll be terrible. There's no difference. The headline is Ford declines Poilievre request for election support. Pierre Poilievre, the conservative leader, recently sought the assistance of Doug Ford for the upcoming federal election. However, Ford declined to help, stating his focus would remain on governing Ontario. So Ford is distancing himself from Poilievre, but he's more than happy to glad hand with Freeland and Mark Carney. He's not even a red Tory. The guy's a commie. His own brother called him a pinko. And this is, watching the way that Ford is treating Pierre Poilievre is another reason why I'm becoming more inclined to vote for the Conservative Party. Now, I live in the West. Some would say that my vote doesn't matter anyway, but the fact is, and there's people who make sound arguments for why voting is a waste of time, but it's all we get. Our vote is all we get in this pathetic country, governed more by unelected bureaucrats, an unelected Senate, an unelected governor general, and in the end, a completely unelected government. People keep reminding me, they're like, you don't know how the Constitution works, Frank, because this is how we choose our governments in Canada. And it's not that I don't know how the Constitution works. I know fully well how it works. We elect these MPs, then they appoint the government, and they lord over us for 4 years, and then we might get our franchise again if they don't declare an emergency and delay our franchise. I know how it works. It's junk. It's terrible. The Federation sucks. Our Westminster system is garbage. It needs to be ripped up and torn up and replaced. And there's not a lot of political will to do that. But back to the point. I don't like Doug Ford. He's a big reason why I left Ontario. When he threatened to go door-to-door to put needles in arms with a medical experiment, let me just say it this way, my life flashed before my eyes. I realized what, as a human being, I know what I'm capable of. And I know that there are red lines for me that I will never allow to be crossed. A man who doesn't have something he's willing to die for isn't a man. And when he said those words, I'm like, that's real bad news for me. I don't want to be in that situation, so I got to get out. That was one of the biggest reasons I had to get out of Ontario. Another reason, because this has come up recently in the comments again, especially being critical of the PPC and their vengeance quest against the CPC right now, and just highlighting the truth about Max and Bernier brings out some of the most vile criticisms. The fact of the matter is, when I was back in Ontario, I also had people showing up at my house, not just through the day. I only told my wife recently that one of my biggest decisions for disappearing from the content creation community and pulling down my videos and my work was because I had a public-facing address because I ran a farm. And you could find me. Even during the campaign in 2019, I went to the farmer's market and I kept up my business and anybody could find me. I was so easily found. And people did find me that I'd never met through my farm work. They had watched videos, they looked up my address and took it upon themselves to show up at my house. Now, most of them were friendly. But one morning, I woke up, and I went outside, and I could see that there were people in my yard at night while I slept inside with my wife and my small child. And that was a wake-up call. I believe she was pregnant with our second child, too. But it doesn't really matter. I recognized that not only was Ontario a totalitarian hellhole that was being mass immigrated out of existence, that Doug Ford was a pinko commie who broke every promise he made in 2018, but I realized that if I continued, my life might be in personal danger. So I had to make plans, and it took a long time. But we liquidated our life, we sold our house, and we moved west, and we ensconced ourselves in a new location, and now I am back here working. But back to the point. The abandonment of Poilievre and the CPC by Doug Ford is just another reason why I am motivated to vote for the Conservative Party of Canada. Now, I like the idea of the Constitution. I don't reject outright the idea of statehood. I don't reject the idea of a Republic of Western Canada. In fact, I think the provincial governments, particularly in Western Canada, are where the hope lies. The future, if we're going to be prosperous, lies with greater autonomy for the provinces. And I'm for that every single day. But I can't bring myself to vote for Carney. There's an argument, and it's a very good argument, that if you want union with the United States or you want Western separatism, you will vote for Carney because he will bring it to a head far faster. Polyev might keep the country going for a little while longer, and it might just draw out the pain. He's really out of position when it comes to Trump. But I don't think I can bring myself to reward Carney in that way. You can. Again, I'm not telling you how to vote. I just tell you what is. And I've been back and forth on this. But myself, I see sufficient reason to cast a vote for the Conservative Party of Canada, and that's probably where I'm going to stick in spite of all the problems that I have with the Conservative Party of Canada. And I want to see the final nail in the coffin for the honor of our government. And that is, I want to see a duly elected, strong, conservative majority get completely stonewalled by an unelected Senate. I think people have got to see viscerally how unfair this country actually is before we can begin the process of breaking it up, and we should break it up. Canada is not a real nation. The Constitution has been flawed since the day it was born. Quebec isn't even a member. They hold the whole country hostage on a volunteer basis. This federation sucks, and we need to break it up. And I think if people aren't ready for that, then pain's going to make them ready. And also seeing an unelected Senate steamroll the duly elected government would be a very good educational opportunity, especially for Western Canada. So with that being said, I just want to alert everybody that being back to content creation on a daily basis for the last 2 months or more every single day, and before that as well, hasn't been very good for some of the quests that I highlighted in the beginning videos where I was talking about fasting and the things that I'd been up to. So I'm beginning the journey. I'm putting it out in public again because it's been on hold for a while. And so if the videos are a little frots where I miss a day over the next couple days, I want you to know why. A great way to save money, as the Liberal government has highlighted, is to just not eat. Skip a meal, they said. They talk about poverty all the time, and they talk about affordability issues, but then when it comes right down to it, they're just like, you don't need breakfast. So anyway, a great way for me to save money is to just stop eating. I'm going to eat myself for the next couple months. So it should be an interesting time. Anyway, I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like honest reporting, you like hard-hitting journalism, I'm probably your guy. Consider a donation at the website, and I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.